you've been searching for that time to get on some sort of a roll here to get that good feeling, and you need a game like this to give you a chance.
We're still struggling to try and score goals night in and night out, but we've been able to do that in the last couple games.
Jets have some life.
It doesn't get any easier, and as the season moves on, the road games get tougher and tougher.
There's not an easy answer to that.
Exactly, goes in, shoots, scores! How about that?
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Ezra, Dave, and Drew on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning at tsn1290.ca, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday morning. We're jam-packed as we're going to spend a solid hour to 90 minutes looking at the Winnipeg Jets and Jacob Trouba. The trouble with Trouba is how I have deemed it. Better than Troubagate. Right, Ezzy?
Well,
it's not a gate.
Yeah. Well, good morning, first of all, Drew. Yes. Thanks for showing up to the Jets game last night, by the way.
Ouch. I had to parent. I apologize. I had to take care of my child.
I like the trouble with Trouba tagline that you've come up with.
Thank you.
As we talked about before the show started, there only is really one gate.
Yeah,
Watergate was the only gate.
Yeah.
So there's no Deflate Gate. There's no Trouba Gate. There was no Kane Gate. It's trouble with Trouba.
That's it. The trouble with Trouba. We've already determined that. It's been approved, signed off on, and everything else. Glad we came to that agreement. Good morning to you, too, as well. Dave Minuk now with us this week. How is it that Dave, he's only been on the show for about 3 weeks. He already gets vacation time? That's a little bit of garbage, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's entitled to a week off, Drew. But, you know, it's a pretty good gig for him. He's down in Minnesota for the Ryder Cup.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and former Illegal Curve member Richie P is also down in Minnesota at Hazeltine for the Ryder Cup. So I'm sure those guys are having a good time, and maybe they're even listening live right now.
I bet not. I'm probably just watching the golf is more likely.
Yeah, they're probably sleeping in.
That's right. Anyways, let's get into it immediately because it was 7 days ago. 7 days ago later on this evening when most of Winnipeg's relatively peaceful, relatively enjoyable Saturday evenings, I think, were turned on their head with the announcement and the statement coming out from Kurt Overhart, the agent for Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, Drew, by the way, why could that news not have broke Friday night?
That would have been much more
before last weekend's show, as opposed to during the Canada-Russia game.
Yeah. It would have been much more convenient from our selfish purposes if it had happened on Friday night, no doubt about it. But the statement, again, this came out late on Saturday evening, quote, "Our client, Jacob Trouba, will not be attending the Winnipeg Jets NHL training camp." Okay, so far, no big surprise. He's a restricted free agent. I don't think anybody expected him to be at the training camp, you know, without having a contract.
No RFAs.
So if you only
will show up at training camp, Drew. So Hampus Lindholm, Rasmus Ristolainen.
He is actually skating. He's very rare, but he's skating with the Sabres at their training camp.
He's skating with them, but he's not playing in the preseason.
No, of course not. So far, you read that first sentence of the statement from Kurt Overhart. No big deal. Our client Jacob Trouba will not be attending the Winnipeg Jets NHL training camp. It's sentence 2 and 3 that turned the entire Winnipeg Jets universe on its head. Since May, we have been working with the Jets management in an effort to facilitate a trade of Jacob's rights. Both parties continue to work on this matter. There has been no negotiation regarding the terms of a contract between our client and the Jets over the course of the last several months. The situation is not about money. It is solely about our client having the opportunity to realize his potential as a right-shot NHL defenseman. I'll stop right there, Ezzy. When you saw the trade demand come out, like you said, right before Canada-Russia or in the midst of the Canada-Russia game at the World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah, semifinal.
The semifinal last Saturday. When you saw that statement, since May, we have been working with the Jets management in an effort to facilitate a trade of Jacob's rights. What were your immediate thoughts?
Well, I wasn't surprised, Drew.
You weren't surprised?
No, and we've talked about this since May, basically even since mid-April when the Jets' season ended and they didn't make the playoffs. Jacob Trouba was a pending restricted free agent come July 1st. And when you talk about Jacob Trouba, we always knew that this contract was going to be more contentious than Mark Scheifele. We all agreed that it was very likely that Mark Scheifele was going to sign a long-term contract, and it wasn't going to be as difficult as Jacob Trouba. So I wasn't surprised, because we heard rumblings, there were speculation from various sources that the Jets were trying to move Jacob Trouba before and after and during the draft. So I wasn't surprised to hear that. What I was surprised is that he mentioned a specific time when they requested the trade. And that really, I think, was in bad taste, to say that Jacob Trouba and his agent had asked for the trade in May, because what that does is that lets everybody know, Drew, that they have been aware that he wanted out since May.
The Jets management has been aware, so that they wanted out since May.
So it puts the Jets in a precarious situation, really. And
because based on the limited discussions that Kevin and limited comment that Kevin Cheveldayoff has made about this, nowhere in Cheveldayoff's comments did you get the indicator that this was anything other than a negotiation of a contract, as opposed to a negotiation regarding a potential trade.
And Drew, we were talking about this leading up to the World Cup in late August and early September. If Jacob Trouba didn't have a contract with the Winnipeg Jets going into the World Cup of Hockey, because of course he was playing for Team North America, we knew that the Jets and Jacob Trouba were not going to negotiate during the World Cup of Hockey. So we knew that if he wasn't signed by around mid-September, I think the World Cup of Hockey started September 17th, we knew that Jacob Trouba probably wasn't going to sign until early October when the World Cup of Hockey was over. So that's no surprise. And what's even more surprising, if you read Paul Wiesek's article, and we had Paul Wiesek on Saturday morning last week, and Jacob Trouba was talking to Paul Wiesek and saying that he expected to be at training camp and he expected to sign with the Winnipeg Jets and he wanted to stay in Winnipeg. Everything was pointing towards Jacob Trouba signing a contract after the World Cup of Hockey. And I even said it back in early September. I thought he might sign back in early September before the World Cup of Hockey, but we've seen it, Drew, with Johnny Gaudreau. We mentioned Hampus Lindholm and Rasmus Ristolainen and Nikita Kucherov. There are five RFAs right now and five significant RFAs that haven't signed. So this isn't just a situation that the Jets are dealing with. There are other teams that have very significant RFAs who haven't signed contracts yet. And it's not easy, because when you're talking about a guy like Johnny Gaudreau, for example, he could be easily asking for $7.5 million a year. So, you know, the comments to me were very confusing. I would use the word confusing, because right now you're looking at the Jets' defense, and sure, there is a hole on the left side, and Jacob Trouba is going to play on his offside, but for me, that reason for why he doesn't want to be in Winnipeg is completely bogus.
So the reason, of course, this is again going on from Kurt Overhart, the situation is not about money. It is solely about our client having the opportunity to realize his potential as a right-shot NHL defenseman. So you think that is a lot of bull honky, is what you're saying?
Well, Drew, I think that's a reason to use that isn't money or term. So you have to have a reason, right?
Sure.
You can't just ask for a trade.
I mean, you only have to have a reason if you're being dishonest and if you don't want to admit, yeah, it's only about money, or you don't want to be in Winnipeg.
Right.
So I think, you know, by saying it's about opportunity, it's maybe pretending that Trouba's taking the high road, as opposed to being honest and saying, well, yeah, it is actually about money, or it's about the fact that Jacob doesn't want to play here.
Right, and I've never heard Jacob Trouba say that he doesn't want to be here. So you can speculate to if he wants to be in Winnipeg or not. But really, for me, it doesn't even matter. It's not about the city. It's about the team. Does he want to play for this team? Will he accept playing on the left side? Because you have Dustin Byfuglien and Tyler Myers ahead of you on the right side. He has to accept that if he wants to be on this team, he's going to have to play where they tell him to play.
Have you ever heard, and I mean, we've heard trade demands many times in sports, and we've heard trade demands many times in the NHL world, and often there are trade demands made about playing time. Have you ever heard a player demand a trade over the position they're playing? And we're not talking about a defenseman being made to play goalie or something. We're talking about a defenseman being asked to start the year on the left side as opposed to the right side. In all the annals of NHL history that I can think back through, I've never recalled a defenseman requesting a trade because of that being the quote-unquote reason.
I agree with you, Drew, and I'll give you two examples and I could probably give you another two examples of Jets players who have not been playing their regular position and that have accepted it glowingly. Matthew Perreault came over to Winnipeg 3 years ago. No, sorry, 2 years ago. Natural center. He's played wing most of the time in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And another example is Nick Petan, who actually played center between Patrick Laine and Joel Armia.
You're missing the obvious one, has he? Dustin Byfuglien.
Sure, Dustin
Byfuglien.
Byfuglien,
yep. When Paul Maurice took over as coach,
yep.
He started that first full season with Maurice as coach, the playoff year.
Right.
Byfuglien started that year as a forward and played forward for most of the first couple months. It was only until the rash of injuries the Jets suffered on the back end when in the span of, I don't remember, it was a span of 2 weeks, I think they lost, Bogosian still would have been on the team, so I think they lost Bogosian and Trouba, and they had a litany of injuries on the back end. That was the time when Dustin Byfuglien moved to the back end. So Dustin Byfuglien is a guy who has played quote unquote out of position for this Winnipeg Jets team and didn't demand a trade as a result.
Right. And that was a very rare situation where a forward moves back to defense. I was talking about more so center to wing or wing to center, right? But no, it's a good point, Drew. I mean, absolutely. Dustin Byfuglien went back to defense and we know that's where he wants to be. He'd rather play defense than forward. But when you're talking about Jacob Trouba right now, I realize there's an adjustment period, but no, I don't think it's acceptable to demand a trade based on the fact that you're playing your offside. You'd rather play on the right side. We've seen it many times before. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Nicholas Jalmerson on the Chicago Blackhawks plays on his offside. And it isn't an uncommon occurrence that a defenseman is asked to play the offside. We're talking about the Olympics or the World Cup of Hockey, you see guys change sides a lot. And sure, Mike Babcock likes to have a left shot defenseman with a right shot defenseman.
Yeah,
but sometimes if
those
you're
are all-star teams. I mean, you don't get to assemble an all-star team on one of the 30 NHL rosters.
And especially when you're talking about Team Canada who had 10 centers,
you
had a lot of guys playing wing, right? Patrice Bergeron is not a winger, but he was playing wing with Sidney Crosby.
Well, I'll tell you why. I mean, I thought when Hustler and Lawless interviewed Kurt Overhart this past week, and I thought the best point, I think it was Hustler who asked the question. He said, you know, Kurt, if it's about, you know, opportunity, if it's about, you know, a player wanting to maximize his, you know, maximize his value, doesn't a player get more valuable by showing that they have versatility in being able to play well on the left side? You know, if Jacob Trouba comes to the Winnipeg Jets and he signs a bridge contract, or he signs a four-year deal, and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and he shows to the entire NHL that he's able to play well on his left, on his offside, and on the right side, doesn't that do nothing but just increase his value to NHL franchises?
Yes, absolutely.
The answer is, of course, absolutely. Yeah. Kurt Overhart, I mean, can't say yes in that instance because he's obviously not going to truthfully answer the question. But that's why it just goes to show you that this entire demand about opportunity and right side defense, it's just nothing but a smokescreen for a guy who simply doesn't want to be in Winnipeg anymore. So it is all about, I mean, it's about the money and it's about not wanting to be in Winnipeg, and trying to take the high road is just obviously garbage.
And Drew, at the end of the day, it's just putting yourself above the team. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. He's putting himself in a position where he's saying, if you don't use me on the left side and give me more power play minutes, I don't want to be here because you're not using me the way I want to be used. Well, guess what? With Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor and a whole bunch of really talented young players, Jack Roslovic, other guys are going to have to accept roles maybe that they don't want. Adam Lowry might have to play on the fourth line center or on the wing.
Or if he makes the team.
Right. And so not everybody, you know, I mean, I wish I drove a Rolls Royce and, you know, had my own island in Hawaii, which I do have, by the way.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
But needless to say, I think in this situation, Jacob Trouba has to bite the bullet and realize there are better defensemen on the right side. We've talked about it for months now. Tyler Myers and Dustin Byfuglien are entrenched as right shot defensemen.
This
whole notion, by the way, that you know it's between Trouba and Tyler Myers. Tyler Myers is an excellent defenseman. I realize that Trouba's possession numbers might be better.
But if Jacob Trouba outplayed these guys, if he went and if he showed up and he outplayed Tyler Myers or he outplayed Dustin Byfuglien, he would get the opportunity.
Right.
So are you just, is Jacob Trouba and Kurt Overhart saying our client isn't good enough to beat out Tyler Myers and Dustin Byfuglien? Pretty much they are. Because they're saying we don't believe that our client can prove that he's good enough to be thought of in a higher light by the organization than these guys.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, we are going to talk about Paul Maurice next segment, Drew. But at the end of the day, I still think there is a small chance that Jacob Trouba does play again for the Jets. I don't think it's a large percent chance, but I wouldn't close the door completely.
Well, let me go back to 2011, October 27th, 2011. Kurt Overhart represents a young player from the Arizona Coyotes, then the Phoenix Coyotes, who was a former high draft pick of the team who had a decent, you know, coming off a decent year in his entry-level deal.
Kyle Turris.
Kyle Turris is the guy's name. Kyle Turris, the Coyotes made him an offer. He refused to accept it. Kurt Overhart's his agent. Eventually, a trade demand is made. Quote, this has never been about money. It's amazing how everything involving Kurt Overhart's players is never about money, it's yet funny. They're always holding out.
Whenever someone says it's not about money,
it's always about money. Quote, this is from October of 2011, October 27, 2011. This has never been about money. We've been upfront with the club from day one. Overhart told ESPN.com. We've respectfully requested that the player had the opportunity to move forward in his career by having a fresh start. Every one of his players, Trouba, Turris, Ryan Johansson, they've all made trade demands, they've all held out, they've all gone to different places. At some point in time, you have to wonder, is it the player or is it the agent or is it a combination of both? Let's come back. We'll look at the trouble with Trouba from Jacob Trouba's perspective. Next on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Saturday morning, 9:20. First day of October. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel and Ezra Ginsberg with you. You can reach us in studio via our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve. If you want to send us your opinion on the Jacob Trouba situation, on the trouble with Trouba as it's been dubbed here on this program, you can do so via Twitter at Illegal Curve. Anything that's worth reading on air, we will go ahead and do so. This segment of the program is brought to you by our friends at Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or stop by their new location located at 982 Portage Avenue, the corner of Portage and Sherburn, and check them out in person at Keener Jerseys. You were there last Saturday for the grand opening celebration. How was it?
Yeah, shout out to the guys at Keener Jerseys. Dave Manuk and I were down there. I had a great time, had a few drinks, had some food.
I can't believe you would have a few drinks.
The jerseys were all set up there, Drew, and it looks awesome. So definitely go down to their new location, 982 Portage, and check them out. And with the start of the Jet season, it's funny, you know, I was thinking of the Keener Jersey guys because it's amazing how many Heritage Classic jerseys you see at Jets games now. Like, you almost see more Heritage Classic jerseys than you see normal Jets jerseys now.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, yeah. Oh, cha-ching.
I think True North is
quite happy.
That's music to their ears,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. That's music to their ears is right. So as I mentioned in the previous segment, Kurt Overhart, the agent for Jacob Trouba, was on Hustler and Lawless earlier this week. We encourage you to check out the entire interview. It's available on tsn1290.ca. But here is Kurt Overhart addressing the overarching demand for the trade, why it occurred. This is Kurt Overhart from HNL earlier this week.
He wants to have the opportunity to realize his potential. You know, we just don't feel that based on the outstanding depth they have on the right side, that opportunity is going to be afforded. The NHL is a young man's league. And these young men that are drafted who are, you know, top-end skill or top-end prospects, most of them have the opportunity to blossom. While Jacob's played a lot of games for a 22-year-old, the opportunities that he's had over the course of that if you look at the last 3 years, it's been kind of an inverse relationship as far as what his role has been. And he just wants that opportunity as a right shot defenseman to play the right side, like he explained on Saturday. And you know, I think he did a really good job with that.
Well, nobody else thinks he did a really good job with that, but that's okay, Kurt. You know, that's the part, you know, he talks about opportunity. And, you know, sure, he hasn't been able to, when he's been on the right side, he's been on a third pairing on the right side. But let's not get carried away and think that Jacob Trouba hasn't had an opportunity to show the Winnipeg Jets and show the Winnipeg Jets organization and show the NHL what he's all about. He played, the third most minutes on the team last year. And sure, some of it was on a combination right side and combination left side. But Jacob Trouba's performance, with all due respect to Mr. Trouba, his performance has not been as good in years three and in years two as it was in year one. So if you want to talk about opportunity and you want to talk about performance, you have to look in the mirror at some point in time and say Jacob Trouba hasn't been as good a player in the last couple of years as he was in the first year. Now, I'm of the belief, and we've talked about this really all summer long, that a large problem or a large part of Jacob Trouba's struggles had to do with being paired with Mark Stewart. So I can understand why Kurt Overhart would have made a trade request if the Jets, you know, hadn't made it perfectly clear that Jacob Trouba is not going to be a third pairing right side defenseman on this team anymore. He's going to play significant minutes, quite possibly, you could say, as a top line left side defenseman with Dustin Byfuglien. So the opportunity was clearly going to be here for Jacob Trouba this year with the Jets. So again, any way you cut it, it just doesn't seem like the story being told and the argument being put forth by Trouba and by Overhart holds any water.
And Drew, I think you could honestly make the argument that Jacob Trouba deserves more time on the power play. I would actually agree with that. I'm not in disagreement that Jacob Trouba doesn't deserve more time on special teams and more time on the ice in five-on-five situations in general. You know, it's interesting. I went back and I looked at Jacob Trouba's time on the ice, both overall on the power play and the penalty kill. And when you look at his time on ice average, Drew, in his rookie season, he averaged about 22 and a half minutes on the ice, and he's still averaging 22 minutes. Now, you could maybe argue that those numbers should be around 24, 25 minutes, which would put him in the upper echelon of defensemen. Tyler Myers plays around 26 minutes a game. And he's a top pair defenseman, obviously, whereas Jacob Trouba has usually been a second pairing defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at his power play time, it was just under 2 minutes in his rookie year, just over 2 minutes, 2:02 in his second year. And this past year, his power play time was 1 minute and 17 seconds. So his power play time has gone down from his rookie year, which you would say, well, that doesn't make any sense, because if he's in his third year and he's going to be a big part of the defense, you'd expect those power play minutes to go up. Well, we've talked about it. Tobias Enstrom, Dustin Byfuglien, those are the top defensemen that go out on the first power play unit. Sometimes Blake Wheeler plays the point. They've had Nikolai Ehlers playing the point. And now with Patrick Laine, you saw it last night, he might play the point. So,
but let me ask you this, Ezzie. Let me interrupt you right there. We've seen Toby Enstrom, he doesn't have the offensive game that he once had. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that,
okay.
Yeah.
So if Jacob Trouba was going to play on the left side this year, and most people expect that he was going to, do you not think that he would have a greater opportunity to make an impact on the power play this year than in previous years? Like, wasn't the opportunity sitting there for him at the start of this year?
Drew, put it this way. The Jets are going to play him in a top four role. He's going to be a top pairing defenseman for this team. He's going to play most likely second power play. He's going to play certain PK situations, and he's going to certainly play either the second most or third most amongst defensemen. Probably Tyler Myers is going to play the most. To me, that is really what it's all about. Tyler Myers
is coming off hip surgery.
Sure.
He's coming off of, I believe he also had knee surgery in the offseason at the end of last year. I mean, there's no reason to think that his health isn't good and isn't, you know, good to perfect. But Jacob Trouba, there is the opportunity sitting there for Jacob Trouba. If he had reported to camp, not even reported to camp, if he had come to an agreement, if he had decided to negotiate a contract with the Winnipeg Jets, I believe that the opportunity would have been there for him to prove himself as a 25, 26-minute-a-game defenseman because, frankly, the Jets didn't really have any other options on the left side. It was true, but they were going to load up on the top four.
Right.
You were going to see Bufflin and Myers on the right side play 25 minutes a game each. Whatever number,
and the somewhere. Reason why, so,
and you're going to see, and you're going to see, and
the second why Drew that Bufflin gets that is because of the power play time.
Sure,
that's where that extra time comes from.
Often you're right, and you're going to see Enstrom, and you're going to see Trouba play upwards of close to 25 minutes on the left side.
Sure,
because your third pairing defense isn't anything to write home about, and the Jets are fortunate to have a solid top four with Jacob Trouba on the left side. So the opportunity was going to be there this year. That's what makes this whole talk that this is about opportunity such nonsense to me.
But it's the opportunity that he wants. It's not the opportunity that the Jets are giving to him. Well, it's the opportunity he wants to create for himself.
Then I expect in 2020, when the collective bargaining agreement for the NHL and the NHLPA comes up, Jacob Trouba and Kurt Overhart are going to be at the front of the pack demanding free agency for players after 3 years. You know, the rules of a player and who owns that player's rights are clearly outlined and agreed to by both parties, the NHL and the NHLPA. And you might think it's garbage that a player's movement is ever restricted beyond the terms of a contract. I'll listen to that argument. Should every player, when they're done playing in their junior call, their juniors or in NCAA, when they're done, should they have the ability to shop their wares to all 30 NHL teams? Yeah, your free market would say that you can. But the NHLPA has come to an agreement with the NHL saying, you know, we are fine with that not being available to our players until they played 7 years in the league or they're 27 years old. So that's the part that bothers me more than anything.
Well,
I don't really care.
At the end of the day, the Jets have all the leverage here. I mean, they can let Jacob Trouba sit on the sidelines.
Absolutely, they can.
And they can let him not even play for an entire year if they don't sign him or trade him.
They absolutely can do that.
So in that sense, I mean, it is, to me, it's a horrible mistake by Jacob Trouba's agent this type of game.
That's what I was going to say. And, you know, we're right up against it, and we'll come back to this because we have David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period going to join us in a couple minutes here. But we have much more to come on this still throughout the course of the program. But to me, that's the part that bothers me as much as anything else, is that you have rules of engagement between the player and the team and the NHL and the NHLPA, and then all of a sudden, because Kurt Overhart and his player don't like it anymore, the rules of engagement are ripped up and they're not the same anymore. That part bothers me. David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period joins us. More on Trouba, more look around the NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Saturday morning here on TSN 1290. 99 problems, but Trouba ain't one for us, but he is for the Winnipeg Jets. Let's head out on the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program from the fourthperiod.com, David Pagnotta. David, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
How you guys doing?
Doing very well, David. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just had to get the dogs, get the rabies shots. That was fun.
Oh, God. I've been there with my dog. It's never, that's always an entertaining morning.
Dave, I got my rabies shots last week.
You feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, he's drooling a lot less than he used to, so that's definitely an advantage.
Yeah, the foaming in the mouth is definitely that's an eye-opener right there. That's a red alert.
Yeah, exactly. He probably shouldn't have had that raccoon meat the other day, but that's a separate issue altogether. Anyways, Dave. Yeah, David, we brought you on, of course, to look around the NHL. We'll start here in Winnipeg with the Jacob Trouba situation. That's what has been the focus for Winnipeg Jets fans, even though, you know, training camp is underway and the exhibition season is underway. Jacob Trouba has been the focus of the attention for much of the summer, and then, of course, last Saturday it was turned on their head when the trade demand was made public. When you saw the announcement or the statement from Kurt Overhart, were you surprised by it, or was this sort of were you sort of just waiting for this shoe to drop that Trouba wanted out of Winnipeg?
I was more surprised that there were less conversations of trying to resolve the matter than anything. He wants to take that next step. It's obvious. It's certainly clear that he wants to take that next step in his career to solidify himself as a top pairing defenseman in the National Hockey League. He certainly feels in order to do that, he's got to get that shot elsewhere. So I was a little bit surprised that they weren't making progressive attempts to, at least come to terms on a deal and then work something out after the fact from a trade perspective. That's the only thing that really kind of surprised me. I understand where he's coming from. There are a lot of players throughout the course of, many seasons that this kind of thing kind of happens and they just feel they're in a better spot elsewhere. And it usually works out for the guys. It does pretty good. Kyle Turris, for example, when he got shipped over to the Senators, started to evolve and get more ice time and there was more trust put onto him and he was able to exploit his talents and, become a number two center for that team. This is more or less a similar situation here. It's kind of unfortunate. He's a great defenseman, and he's going to be even better. He's going to be a really good defenseman, and he should prove to be a top-pairing D in the National Hockey League. It certainly looks like it won't be happening with the Jets.
Dave, from what you've heard around the NHL, how many teams are actually interested in acquiring Jacob Trouba, and do you think Kevin Cheveldayoff's price, if they do want to trade him, could be too high?
No, I don't think so. I think he views it as what the potential is for this player, and I think everybody kind of sees that as well. They know what he brings to the table. They know what the low level ceiling could be for him. Obviously, the top tier ceiling. It's really up to Trouba to step up and become an elite defenseman in the National Hockey League. But everybody expects that he's going to be able to be a first pair D in the NHL. So, if you're Cheveldayoff, then he's certainly, that's the price tag he's putting out. So he wants to get a replacement on the blue line on the left side for him. Is he looking at other options? Could there be a larger deal in place? Are there other elements that could come to the table? There's other factors that, especially in a deal like this or a potential deal like this that goes back to really some trade discussions happening last season to kind of get the ball rolling. It's not an easy deal to kind of consummate. So you've got to look at a variety of different options. I think if we're going to see a big type deal go down before the start of the season, it wouldn't surprise me if there are multiple pieces involved beyond just, a one for two or three asset kind of return. We could see multiple players, changing hands here once all is said and done.
David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period joins us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. David, that's sort of where I wanted to piggyback on. You mentioned the size of the deal. And, Bob McKenzie, of course, and Bob is the Bob father for a reason. He's the preeminent hockey insider, was on, one of the stations earlier in the week, and he was saying that, he thought that the Jets would be interested or be looking for a one-for-one deal to start here. I look around the NHL, and I'm thinking, well, what are the Jets looking for? They're supposedly looking for a young, left-side defenseman coming off their entry-level deal, and I don't see there being equal value on a one-for-one trade out there. So I was, any way I cut it, and this, I hadn't had the chance to, speak about this with Ezzy on the air yet, but anyway, I cut it, I see this as just being, as this being a part of a larger deal, because I don't know that one-for-one deal is out there.
No, and we certainly saw over the course of the summer, we saw the Hall for Larson deal. We saw PK Subban for Shea Weber. I agree. I don't believe that is going to be the ultimate outcome. Even though that could be the Jets, priority is to say, hey, we're going to, we want to replace this guy, so we're going to move this top-tier defenseman. We want your top-tier defenseman and go from there. But at the same time, nobody really anticipated Shea Weber being traded. So there's certain possibilities. We don't know the mindset of teams. They're starting to alter their opinion of their club. That certainly changes as the weeks progress closer to the season, 2 weeks to go before the start of the season. And teams starting to evaluate their rosters of what they've got now. We could see that kind of shift for a few teams before, the 12th when the puck drops on the regular season. But I'm kind of the same mindset where we could see a larger kind of deal transpire here, just so that it certainly makes life easier from a certain perspective. And it creates more options rather than just the one-for-one kind of swap. But again, you know, if somebody sees something that they don't like in the next 12 days, and they're willing to, you know, make a guy available like Nashville was when they were willing to make Shea Weber available, then, you know, that changes the dynamic of discussions.
Dave, as you know, Jacob Trouba isn't the only high-profile restricted free agent. You've got Nikita Kucherov in Tampa. You've got Johnny Hockey Gaudreau in Calgary. You've got Hampus Lindholm in Anaheim. You've got Rasmus Ristolainen in Buffalo. Do you expect all four of these players to be signed by the time the NHL regular season starts? And which one of those players do you think is closest to signing?
It doesn't sound like any of them are really that close. Now, Gaudreau's in a unique situation because of his contractual status. And the terms with the CBA. So he's not really a restricted free agent. You know, he can't be offered or he can't be presented an offer sheet. He can't sign an offer sheet. He's really just it's just him and Calgary. And it's who's going to budge first. And that's really what it's going to come down to. I could see this one going a little bit longer than the Flames and Gaudreau would like. But, you know, it's a tricky situation. Are you willing to give a player with 2 years' experience who's been, you know, phenomenal for the first 2 years of his career? Do you want to give him $8 million or around $8 million a season over a 6-7-8 year term? That's what the Flames are debating. Certainly, Gaudreau feels that he's worth it and feels he's going to continue this pace and get even better. And a lot of people believe that to be the case as well. Just right now, you've got to decide if you're going to bite the bullet on a few extra million, you know, this season and next, before he really gets into those you know, top-tier offensive years at a young age. Nikita Kucherov, that's another interesting dynamic because of the lack of cap space that the Tampa Bay Lightning have, or lack thereof. So they've been looking for the better part of the offseason, and Steve Yzerman and his staff have been looking at options in clearing salary. They came close with Ben Bishop. He obviously wasn't able to come to terms on an extension with the Calgary Flames, so that nixed that deal. So they've got to be creative in how they move forward. This could potentially drag on. Buffalo and Anaheim, two different scenarios. You know, the Sabres are a young up-and-coming team. They're on the rise, but they're not contending just yet, whereas the Anaheim Ducks feel that they're still in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup now, which should be the mindset for that club. And how valuable is Hampus Lindholm to that back end? To have him ready for the start of the season and not take, you know, if he signs in a few weeks, well, now you've got to basically wait about 3 to 4 weeks for him to get into the groove of playing. So that plays a factor as well. I think Buffalo and Anaheim could close the gap a lot quicker with their two defensemen. Ricard Raquel, also someone who's should get a deal done with the Ducks over the next 10 days or so. But I think the defensemen are probably going to be in a better position to close the gap on contracts versus Kucherov and Gaudreau, who two different scenarios and basically could be the same outcome.
David Pagnotta is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can read David's work at thefourthperiod.com. David, cycling back to the Trouba situation for a second, I was looking, we were talking earlier in the program about Kyle Turris, you know, another client, of course, of Kurt Overhart. And we were thinking earlier about Ryan Johansson, formerly of Columbus, now of Nashville, another client of Overhart's. What do you make of an agent who has a client list that, for the most part, ends in acrimony in their originally drafted cities?
Well, at the end of the day, he gets the job done for his client. So from a team perspective, I got a lot of curse words I want to throw his way. from the player perspective, all the power to you because you're getting the job done. You kind of have to look at it from both perspectives. As a fan, you want the guy on the ice. So you're going to be a little bitter towards the agent, no doubt about that. Kirk doesn't care. His job is to do what's right for what he feels is right and best in the best interest of his guys. So he certainly felt that way. He's got a history of going this route. And for the most part, it's worked out, maybe not initially, certain circumstances, but the following contract certainly, you know, would work out and has worked out for him in the past. again, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people harp on a lot of the agents sometimes, whether it's Kurt, everyone's on Alan Walsh's case because he's so vocal on Twitter and so, you know, he promotes his clients a lot from a public setting, but he gets these guys get the job done. And, you know, there was a lot of scrutiny over Ajay Kopitar and the LA Kings and Pat Brisson and his staff at CAA over, you know, just dragging on too long. Should they just suck it up and take a, you know, whatever the Kings are offering and just get a deal done? But they stood their ground. They did what's in the best interest of their client, and they got the deal done. That's the job of the agent. So it's not as comforting as from a fan perspective, and certainly from the team perspective. It adds a lot of stress. But at the end of the day, that's why these guys are getting their percentage. That's why they're getting paid, and that's why they're still around. The guys are comfortable with it, and until the player, you know, steps up and says, okay, you know what, I've changed my mind, let's just do this, they'll offer their advice, but at the end of the day, the player makes a decision. So, you know, you got to do what's in the best interest of your client, and the player has to trust his agent to do what's best for him. So it's a tough situation to be in if you're a fan, because you want the guy on the ice. You don't want to hate him for holding out because he means so much to your team and you want the guy to play. But you've got to kind of understand the other side of it as well. And it's a tough business to be in.
Dave, switching gears here a little bit, you're in Toronto, and we haven't even asked you about the World Cup of Hockey. It ended a couple of days ago. Big picture, you know, Canada wins the World Cup of Hockey for the second time in a row. They beat Team Europe in two games. What were your overall thoughts on the World Cup of Hockey? What were your thoughts about how it was received in Toronto, and how would you like to see the World Cup of Hockey maybe change going ahead 4 years in 2020?
A lot of positives. There were a lot of good things. I was very skeptical of this tournament when it started. I've been pretty vocal about that. I just thought it was another, you know, hoopla event, and that's all it'll be. But I was thoroughly impressed with how they came forward with everything, what they brought to the table. They were very unique and innovative broadcasts and the graphics and all that fun stuff that was brought to the table that's eventually going to be grandfathered into the NHL broadcasts. A lot of positives that were taken away. The hockey was good hockey for the most part throughout the tournament. There were some intense games. I think it dragged on a little bit too long with how many games were played in the preliminary round. But other than that, the hockey itself, you know, was good. Say what you want. There was a lot of criticism over the two final games. You know, it wasn't as intense as a lot of people wanted. It didn't need to be from the team perspective. But overall, it was a successful tournament. Now, there's a lot that the league is going to look at for 2020 in terms of what to do around the game and how to promote it around it. There wasn't as much buzz in the city as the tournament was underway as there should have been. The league, you know, certainly there's so much going on. It's the first time you're doing this tournament. The league and the Players Association put a lot of effort and a lot of time into this. And it, overall, definitely a huge success and something that's going to be and should continue being that and just elevating. But Fan Village that they had here has received a lot of scrutiny because of how far it was from the rink and the downtown core. Grand scheme of things, it's not that far at all, but it's, you know, the parking was an issue around there. It wasn't easily accessible. That's something they're going to look at for 2020. The overall hype in the city and what's happening around the arena kind of dwindled as the tournament went on. That needs to continue to be elevated. And then there's just some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with the players and the athletes and what to do for them and their families and all that. Overall, I give it an A-, to be honest. It was that good. But there are these little fine-tuning that needs to be done in order for this to be an A-plus event, and they'll get there. Whether it's in Edmonton or Chicago or overseas for 2020, there's a lot of interest in hosting this event, and there's a lot of takeaways that are going to come from it.
David Pagnotta of thefourthperiod.com. David, before we let you go, you're coming to Winnipeg. Give us a little plug for the event that's coming up.
I am, yes. If we're throwing a kickoff to the season party in all seven Canadian cities. Our first one's in Toronto today, actually, at Shark Club. We're going to be heading over to Winnipeg on Tuesday for a fun party at Shark Club as well. Members of the hockey community, you guys are going to be there. Just a fun way to bring the hockey community together, usher in the new season. We'll have members of the Jets in attendance as well. Some of the players, some of the staff, everybody kind of in the hockey community there as well. So if you're around, swing by Shark Club and let's rub some elbows with some hockey people. And you fine gentlemen.
Rub some elbows and tip a few back, right, David?
Just a few.
There you go. David Pagnotta of thefourthperiod.com. David, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for doing this.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
See you Tuesday. Head to break. When we come back, the trouble with Trouba. We look at it from a Winnipeg Jets perspective. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
It's unfortunate, but we've also seen these things get resolved, and it will. I'm a big Jake Trouba fan. And every player has the right to control his own destiny. I have absolutely no problem for that. I do view him as a Winnipeg Jet, and I'll look forward to him walking through that door and playing for us again.
Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice taking the high road, speaking with the assembled media at MTS Center last night prior to the Jets-Oilers exhibition game. The first time we've had an opportunity to hear from Coach Maurice this week since the trade demand was made by Jacob Trouba. So Paul Maurice elects to take the high road, says that he's got lots of time for Jacob Trouba, expects to see him back in the Winnipeg Jets uniform. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. So as I'm not surprised that Paul Maurice would take the high road because he knows that, well, that the hockey team is better with Jacob Trouba in the lineup. He knows there is a possibility, and we'll talk about it this segment and later on, that Jacob Trouba does return to the Winnipeg Jets, because we've been speaking about Kyle Turris and the parallels in that situation. Kyle Turris returned to the Phoenix Coyotes after his holdout.
So did Ryan Johansson. He was traded after that.
But. Yeah, Kyle Turris was traded about a month after he returned. Ryan Johansson was traded about a year later.
Yep.
So both of these players of Kurt Overhart's, I demand a trade. Well, push comes to shove. December 1st is showing up. It's getting closer and closer. They ended up back with the team, their original team. So Paul Maurice knows there's no reason for him to burn the bridge with Jacob Trouba.
Andrew, you know, it's a good point that you make. It really is, because there are a lot of Jets fans out there who read this news or heard of this news, and they were already dismissing Jacob Trouba and basically already ripping up their jerseys and throwing them on the fire, right?
Sure.
So I think it is a strong possibility, maybe not strong possibility, but certainly a good possibility, Drew, that Jacob Trouba does sign with the Winnipeg Jets and plays this season for the Winnipeg Jets. We talked about it during the first hour. I guess it's still the first hour. We talked about it in the first segment of the first hour right at 9 in the morning. I mean, Jacob Trouba right now is not in control of his own destiny, because the Winnipeg Jets do not have to trade him. Jacob Trouba and Kurt Overhart can request a trade all they want. Jets don't have to trade him.
Well, the question becomes, if the Jets choose not to trade him, and, you know, I agree with you that he could return to the Winnipeg Jets organization, and it wouldn't be shocking if he did to me, but I also don't think that he's going to be here for much. I would put 12 months at the absolute longest he's still going to be in Winnipeg for.
Drew, I look at this situation, and there are four options, which I would say one of them is probably not going to happen. The first option is the Winnipeg Jets re-sign Jacob Trouba to either a short-term or long-term deal. The second option would be that the Jets trade Jacob Trouba to another team. The third option would be that the Jets don't sign Jacob Trouba and he sits out an entire year. The fourth option would be the Jets don't sign Jacob Trouba and he goes and plays in Russia or Europe.
Right.
That number four is probably the least likely. And as far as what is the most likely, you know,
number three of just missing the entire season is the least likely. And I'll tell you why.
I agree with that, too.
If December 2nd hits, if he's not under contract to the Winnipeg Jets, why wouldn't he go, you know, go to Switzerland or go to Sweden or go to Finland?
Russia.
And Russia, if he wants to play there, and, you know, make whatever he can make for the season.
Yep.
And I mean, it's relatively unprecedented of a player of that stature doing so. But there'd be no reason for him to stay home without an NHL contract once he can't sign one for that season.
It wouldn't be good for his development in the NHL. You forget Jacob Trouba's only 22 years old,
sure.
Right?
Let me ask you, what do you think of Matthew Perreault's comments? Here's the quote from Matthew Perreault. This happened last Sunday. He gave this quote to Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Quote, "We would have hoped they would have found a way to get it done," Matthew Perreault said. "It's kind of sad to see. He's such a young player, obviously. I don't know. It's a bit of a weird situation. This guy plays big minutes, 22 minutes, and he's going to complain some sort of way about his ice time. How much more does he want?" That's Matthew Perreault, Winnipeg Jets center/winger, talking about his teammate Jacob Trouba.
Well, and it was fresh, right? It had just happened the previous day. Matthew Perreault made those comments on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Trouba's agent sent out that statement on Saturday. So, I mean, that's just Matthew Perreault speaking his mind, right? That's all that is. I mean, he finds out the news, and he's speaking his mind, and he's basically saying what everybody else is thinking.
Yes, but he's unique because he's, of course, a member of the Winnipeg Jets saying it in a dressing room that Jacob Trouba conceivably might have to return to.
He's also a player, I think, that it's worth mentioning, signed a 4-year extension in the last year of his contract, well, avoiding unrestricted free agency, and he's a player that has been playing the wing, and he's a natural center.
As much as these are Matthew Perreault's words and that they come out of his mouth, I also think that to some extent they are the Winnipeg Jets management words and they're True North's words, because Matthew Perreault, if you look at the relationship he has with the organization, look at his career. He was in Washington, played for the Capitals. He played minor league hockey for the Hershey Bears.
Played for Anaheim,
went over there, didn't have great success. He was non-tendered. He was not qualified.
Yep.
He comes over to Winnipeg. He gets a 3-year, $9 million contract. Then, like you said, he re-signs for another 4 years. So this is a guy, Matthew Perreault, who owes a lot of his financial well-being and his NHL career to the Winnipeg Jets and to True North Sports and Entertainment.
I bet that the Jets weren't happy that he said that.
Oh, though. I think they were ecstatic that he said it.
I don't know, Drew.
I think they were absolutely thrilled that he said it.
They really like any comments that are controversial.
I think that they don't mind it coming from Matthew Perreault because they know Matthew Perreault. They know the relationship they have with Matthew Perreault. I think that the Jets organization was not the least bit upset to see Matthew.
I'm not saying that they were upset. I'm just saying
that they did. You said they didn't like it.
Well,
so
put it this way. I don't think that is going to have any impact on what they do with Trouba.
I don't think it'll have any impact either, but I don't think that they mind to see a player call out Trouba for what they would perceive as selfishness.
Sure, they might have liked that he said it because they would like to say it publicly.
Right. So I think this is
I don't know if they ever want players sounding off on other players who are currently not under contract.
I wouldn't be shocked. No, we'll never know. But it would not be shocked if
Maybe
Matthew
we will know.
Well, that would be nice if we would know. But it would not be shocked if Matthew Perreault is a bit of a proxy for Winnipeg Jets management in those comments. That would not surprise me in the least bit. And I don't have a fault with that.
What is this, House of Cards?
No, it's not House of Cards. But, I mean, when you're in a negotiation, there's elements of Machiavellian work and whatnot. So I would not be surprised if Matthew Perreault's comments, I'm sure they were his own comments, but I would not be surprised if the Jets were... Yeah, hey, I'm okay with those comments.
True, and by the way, I don't disagree with what he said. I love to hear players speak their mind. I mean, I'm in the dressing room, in the visitor dressing room all the time. I love it when guys speak up and all of that, and in the media as well. But I'm just saying that, you know, it was the timing of it, I think, was maybe not the best because of what's going on off the ice. But sure, I mean, maybe True North didn't mind the comment, but it was certainly refreshing to hear a guy speak his mind, and I agree with him.
We're 1 hour down. When we come back, we'll look at Kevin Cheveldayoff's performance, for lack of better word, as a result during this trouble with Trouba situation that's been going on now since the end of last offseason.
Maybe Trouba has been hypnotized by Kurt Overhart.
Biggie. Anyways, we'll see if that's the situation. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, hour number 2, coming up next on TSN 1290.
Curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
This has become a complete pain in the ass for Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Winnipeg Jets. The players are wondering, and then the players have to answer questions. And then you have a travel day off while you're trying to prepare for your team, you know, and the season. I mean, it's an unwanted, undesirable situation. So thank you very much, Jacob Trouba, for being a pain in the ass. He'll be traded on Winnipeg Jets terms and on Kevin Cheveldayoff's terms. And that's where him and Kurt Overhart have made a major mistake. A major mistake.
That was TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button himself, of course, a former NHL general manager. He was most recently with the Calgary Flames. Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show begins now here on TSN 1290. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. For more information or to make an appointment, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Last Saturday morning, of course, as he was the Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest.
Yep.
And, of course, at the Fan Fest, this is before the Jacob Trouba trade demand had become public later that evening. Kevin Cheveldayoff, as you would expect, Winnipeg Jets general manager, was asked, you know, how negotiations were going with Jacob Trouba, as he had been throughout the summer. And he gave his usual answer of, no answer, which no surprise there. Nobody really expected anything. But then he finds out 12 hours later that, well, truthfully, there have been no negotiations. The Jets have not been able to offer a contract to Jacob Trouba since the end of last season. That a trade demand has been made since last May. Or since previous May, about, you know, was that 4 months ago, 5 months ago at this point in time? Obviously, Kevin Cheveldayoff views Jacob Trouba as an integral member of the Winnipeg Jets organization. But when you have a player who is represented by a guy in Kurt Overhart who is a pit bull, let's say, for his clients, you have a trade demand on the table. You had heard rumblings, take them for what they're worth, that maybe this player wasn't happy. Obviously, that's come to fruition. Should Kevin Cheveldayoff have done more to trade Jacob Trouba in the offseason? Should he have nipped this in the bud when he found out in May that this is a player who does not want to be in Winnipeg and does not want to be a long-term member of the Winnipeg Jets and is not interested in signing another contract with the Jets? Should Kevin Cheveldayoff have been more proactive in trying to ship Jacob Trouba out before the trade demand was made public?
Well, Drew, first of all, we don't know how proactive Kevin Cheveldayoff was leading up to the draft, after the draft. The Jets were out of the playoffs early in the season, late in the season, and they obviously didn't go to the playoffs, and Kevin Cheveldayoff and his scouting staff were focused on the draft, but certainly they knew that Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba were the big pending RFAs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard, again, going back to what we talked about a few segments ago, we heard speculation and talk that Jacob Trouba was being shopped. Maybe shopped is the wrong word. There were discussions going on with Kevin Cheveldayoff and other general managers about a possible Jacob Trouba trade. Darren Drager earlier this week reported that the Detroit Red Wings were interested.
Back at the draft.
Yes.
They had made an offer for Trouba at the end of June at the NHL draft.
Makes
in
a lot
Buffalo.
Of sense. Why? Because Detroit
Michigan
needs
boy.
Michigan boy.
Yeah.
Detroit has been after a good puck-moving right-shot defenseman for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Cronwall's getting older. I mean, they've got some good defensemen there.
Yep.
Danny DeKeyser and Alexei Marchenko, and they've got a few others, Brendan Smith. But they certainly would love an upgrade on defense with Jacob Trouba. But, you know, back to your point, though, the Jets just went through this a year ago with Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien not signing contracts until the second half of the regular season. And last year's show, we talked about how who was it going to be, Andrew Ladd or Dustin Byfuglien? Was it going to be both of them? Were they going to have to trade one of them?
Was it going to be a distraction to the team, which it clearly was last season?
It was, Drew, and no one maybe in the Jets room is going to say that.
Well, Dustin Byfuglien said it. He did that interview with ESPNDallas.com.
He said it was a distraction for him.
Well, so if it was a distraction for him, it was a distraction for his teammates.
Sure, sure. I agree. I'm not going to argue on that.
A distracted Buff is not the best.
Sure.
Buff.
I meant organization as a whole.
Yeah.
It was a distraction, right?
I would
and
agree.
They're not going to say that. But I don't think that the Jets wanted to be in this situation. Like back in May, I think the Jets were hoping that they could sign Jacob Trouba around the same time they signed Mark Schlafly. What was that, July 8th or something? So I don't necessarily know you can say that the Jets should have dealt with this earlier, because I think the Jets have been dealing with it and they're not going to negotiate in public. I think that the Jets have talked to other teams, Detroit being one of them, and they haven't been able to put together a trade. I mean, look at Jacob Trouba was drafted 9th overall by the Jets in 2012. They have a lot invested in him. Mm-hmm. They've given him a prominent role on defense. He's a big part of the future of this organization. He might not be anymore because he's demanded a trade, but certainly I think making a trade, a one-for-one trade for a left-shot defenseman, look, the cards are on the table. Everybody knows what the Jets want. The Jets want a defenseman back. The Jets are stronger at forward, mm-hmm. and maybe, Drew, the Jets have to throw in a young forward. Maybe they have to throw in a Joel Armia or a Jack Roslovic or whoever it is
To make a bigger deal.
Sure. I'm not saying that the Jets are going to trade those players. I'm just saying if the Jets do end up trading Jacob Trouba, a young forward might have to be included just because the Jets have an overabundance of good young forwards.
Next segment, we'll talk about how we think this resolves itself and potential destinations for Trouba. So we'll talk about that next segment. What I look at here, and I mean, this was something I tweeted last Saturday when I saw it, is we now know, of course, that Jacob Trouba made the trade demand in May. We saw that Taylor Hall of the Edmonton Oilers was traded for Adam Larson.
Yeah, terrible trade.
Terrible trade. And you saw
Adam Larson looked horrible last night.
Right. Adam Larson is nowhere near as good as Taylor Hall.
I shouldn't say horrible, but I just don't think he's a very good defenseman.
That was a horrible trade. That was a horrible trade by anybody's definition. That trade happened in June, towards the end of June. I tweeted this out, that if the Jets knew that Trouba didn't want to be here and that the Oilers were trading Taylor Hall, I know it's not exactly what you want for Jacob Trouba, but I'm of the opinion, and this is just my opinion, that you're better off collecting top flight assets and then figuring out the rest later. So that if there was a possibility of acquiring Taylor Hall from the Oilers for Jacob Trouba.
Yep.
The Jets would have been better off doing that, and then you figure out everything else after. Drew, then you figure out, you know, maybe Taylor Hall's not bound for Winnipeg for a long time. Maybe the Jets then turn around and flip Taylor Hall. But Taylor Hall for Jacob Trouba is a hell of a deal from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, from my perspective for the Winnipeg Jets. It's not exactly
Is it, though?
Taylor Hall is a hell of an NHL player.
No, I know he is.
I know he's not exactly what the Jets
Jacob
would
be. Trouba's better than Adam Larson.
Way better than Adam Larson.
I wouldn't say way better,
but he's better,
better
than Adam Larson, yeah. and he's a higher ceiling than Adam Larson. So if you're the Oilers, and you know, Bob McKenzie was asked about this on TSN 1260, our affiliate in Edmonton,
yep.
and the transcript is courtesy of Chris Nichols. He asked, were the Oilers interested in Jacob Trouba? And he quote, "I'm not saying the Oilers aren't interested in Jacob Trouba, but I don't necessarily categorize them as a team that would be beating down the door to try to make this deal happen. And I don't know if Winnipeg would perceive Darnell Nurse or Oscar Klefbom as fair value coming back the other way. There's no question right now the plan is to go with Klefbom and Larson on the top pair for Edmonton and let Nurse continue to develop more as a third pairing guy."
That top pair didn't look very good last night, by the way.
If you're, and so I know that it's not exactly what the Jets would want. And I get that. But I would like to see, from my perspective, if there was a possibility of acquiring Taylor Hall back in June, mm-hmm. knowing what we know now, knowing that Trouba had made the trade demand, and maybe Edmonton had no interest in Jacob Trouba. But if Edmonton chose Adam Larson over Jacob Trouba, then Peter Chiarelli is a worse general manager than I even know about. It seems to me that the Jets are, you can't, in this kind of situation, have tunnel vision focused only on one type of player in return. I would rather acquire a top flight talent like Taylor Hall is and then make it work after the fact.
Okay, but I don't disagree that the Jets would have been definitely better suited. Not better suited. I mean, sure, Trouba for Hall, Drew, you're asking me if I do it? Sure, yes. And then you say worry about it after. But the problem is if you take Jacob Trouba out of your defense, you have a huge hole, as you know, on the left side.
Right, but
and the Jets do not have anybody to replace Jacob Trouba right now in the lineup. Is Josh Morrissey going to play in the NHL this year? Absolutely. Do I like Josh Morrissey's game? Yes. I think he's been good in the first three preseason games. I don't think you can put Josh Morrissey on the second pair with Dustin Byfuglien and have as much confidence as you do with Jacob Trouba there. So there is an asterisk. There is a but with should the Jets have done Trouba for Hall, right? And we don't even know if Chevy and Peter Chiarelli talked about Trouba for Hall. But so so I'm not going to disagree, Drew. Yes, okay. I would do Trouba for Hall straight up. I really like Taylor Hall.
Thankfully,
he's with my New Jersey Devils.
Yes.
But when you talk about what the Jets are going to do if there is a possible trade, do they not have to get a left side defenseman? Like, the Jets' biggest weakness right now, I think the Jets are going to make the playoffs this year, by the way.
Well, we'll deal with that on our season preview show next Saturday here on the Illegal Curve
Hockey Show. The Jets have arguably the best collection of young talent in the entire league with Nikolai Ehlers, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor. You can go on and on and on. Jack Roslovic. But the Jets' defense right now on the left side is not as strong as the right side, and I believe they need a solid shutdown defenseman on the left side if this team wants to go far in the playoffs.
Well, we'll talk about destinations coming up next segment. Here's Bob McKenzie from TSN 1050 on Tuesday evening. That's our radio affiliate in Toronto, of course. A lot of people said to me, why, if they were going to trade Trouba, they being the Jets, and they knew that Trouba wanted out dating back to last May, why wouldn't Edmonton have traded Taylor Hall for Jacob Trouba? And I think there's two answers to that question. The first answer is Winnipeg doesn't want Taylor Hall. Winnipeg's got Nick Ehlers. They've got Patrick Laine. And they've got Kyle Connor. Now, Kyle Connor may not be ready for full-time NHL duty, and Ehlers is only a second-year pro, and Laine hasn't played a game in the NHL yet. But long-term, they are set on the left side. So they don't need a Taylor Hall who has 5 years left in the who's had 5 years in the league, or whatever it is, and is making $6 million a year. That's an area of strength for them, and that's misallocation of cap dollars for the Winnipeg Jets. So they didn't want to make that deal. And I'm not sure Edmonton, and you saw that Todd McClellan, he coached Trouba at the World Cup, and he only got in the lineup because of Aaron Ekblad being injured. So I'm not saying Edmonton doesn't like Trouba, but I don't think they're jostling and getting everybody out of the way saying, we've got to have this guy. I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, right. And you know what, Drew? That could all be true, and it definitely is true. When you have Taylor Hall, one of the best left wingers in the entire game, you can make room for him.
That's what my point is. And if that trade was available, and I know you don't want to give up on Trouba, and I get that, even though the players made a trade request, but I think if you're Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, and you're looking at the situation, and this is back in June, and you're saying if there's a possibility of acquiring Taylor Hall in your left hand, and in your right hand you have an unhappy Jacob Trouba, you have a pit bull of an agent in Kurt Overhart who isn't one to settle for compromise, I think you take Taylor Hall, if you could get him, and you make it work in your lineup with all those forwards, you figure it out. It's a good problem to have too many top flight NHL forwards. Let's head to break. When we come back, the trouble with Trouba looks at potential destinations and potential resolutions. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. 20 minutes past the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN.
You know,
TSN.
I got to say, Drew.
Yes, Ezzy.
I love this Trouba talk. You're getting me fired up here. The season is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm loving it. You know, I was doing pre and post with Rick last night.
Yeah, there's a guy who wasn't loving it.
Yeah, well, I was loving being with Rick. I always love doing pre and post with Rick. And I'm, you know, the World Cup of Hockey kind of started the hockey season early, and I'm getting fired up here.
I'm glad you're getting fired up. Anyways, this segment of the show brought to you by Bell Acres Golf and Country Club and Clear Lake Golf Course. You know, still beautiful weekend on a foot here. Hopefully it's going to continue on throughout the month of October. Be sure to head out to Bell Acres Golf and Country Club. Get another round of golf in before you got to put the clubs away for the year. If you're up in the Riding Mountain National Park area, maybe you're looking at the leaves changing color. Best way to look at leaves changing color is by playing golf at Clear Lake Golf Course as well. So check it out, Bell Acres Golf and Country Club and Clear Lake Golf Course.
Yeah, Drew, there's actually a special rate that they have at Bell Acres right now.
Do tell.
It's a fall weather rate.
Okay.
Golf after 11 a.m. any day of the week is $39 with a cart.
That is a deal.
Yeah. So after go to 11. Bell Acres.
Okay.
Tell them Illegal Curve sent you.
Naturally.
And get that deal.
I would absolutely recommend doing that. Okay, Ezzy, so we spent the first 80 minutes of the show or so looking at the trouble with Trouba, the Winnipeg Jets, and the contract situation that they currently have with Jacob Trouba. Let's look at resolutions. Let's look at how do you think this resolves itself. Let's look at potential trade destinations. Let's look at potential trade returns for the Winnipeg Jets. Let's start with the idea that the Jets are going to be able to pull off a one-for-one deal here. To me, that seems unlikely. I just look around the NHL landscape, and I'm just not seeing who that left-side defenseman coming back to Winnipeg is, if that's what the Jets are demanding. I'm not seeing who that 22-year-old left-side defenseman is that's out there in the NHL that another team is willing to trade because they're so desperate to get Jacob Trouba.
Right, and you asked a few questions there, and the question of whether Jacob Trouba will be traded and has he played his last game as a Winnipeg Jet, if it's going to be a one-for-one trade for a left-shot defenseman, Drew, absolutely, the amount of teams then shrinks to maybe two or three.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the Arizona Coyotes are interested in Jacob Trouba. We've heard that the Boston Bruins are interested in Jacob Trouba. The New York Rangers are interested in Jacob Trouba. We've also heard the New York Rangers might be interested in Kevin Shattenkirk, but we'll talk about that on another show.
Sure.
He might be traded by the time we have our next show. But when you look at Jacob Trouba right now, and the position that Kurt Overhart has put his client in, we talked about it. I mean, I think there's a strong possibility that Jacob Trouba just doesn't start the season, isn't signed, and the Jets let him sit there. I mean, that's a strong possibility. The Jets are the ones that hold all the cards. They don't have to trade Jacob Trouba right now. Now, having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if Jacob Trouba is traded within the next couple days or a week just because he asked for a trade. And he has gone public, Kurt Overhart has gone public, and said that they have asked for a trade. So if you've asked for a trade, you would expect the possibility of a trade. So right now, I think your guess is as good as mine, Drew, and I think a lot of people have already really come to the conclusion that Jacob Trouba has played his last game as a Winnipeg Jet. There's also the possibility that he still signs and plays with the Jets. And you mentioned it. I mean, I'll admit right now, I didn't think Jonathan Drouin was going to stay with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I thought he was out the door. I thought he was going to be traded by Stevie Yzerman. Mm-hmm. And he ended up coming back. He was excellent in the playoffs. And now he's back to being a regular member of the Lightning.
I think the difference there is Jonathan Drouin walked out on a valid NHL contract. Now, to do so is, the Tampa Bay Lightning, Drouin chose the nuclear option, quote unquote. The Tampa Bay Lightning did not. So to their credit, and then they were able to mend those fences for the time being. This is different because Trouba doesn't have a valid contract. So he's not sitting out from anything. He's just not playing hockey because he is not forced to play hockey. He has no obligation to the Winnipeg Jets organization.
Right.
So there is differences, but parallels between the two.
But he has requested
situations.
A trade, though.
He has requested a trade. And then the question becomes one of, if the Jets aren't able to get what they deem fair value in a trade, and it is November 25th, and it's November 26th, and it's November 27th, is Jacob Trouba who's going to blink first? Is Jacob Trouba going to blink and join the Winnipeg Jets, be it on a one-year deal or a two-year deal, or whatever contract they're able to hammer out right before a December 1st deadline? I don't know the answer to that, but I also know that, I have no problem being critical of Kevin Cheveldayoff and the way he has conducted this negotiation, but it's not really conducted a negotiation, the way that it's gotten this far and he never made a trade earlier. I can be critical of Kevin Cheveldayoff for always waiting until the absolute end of the line before doing something,
right,
for not being more proactive, but I'll give him credit in that he's not going to panic at the same time. Jacob Trouba is, he's not going to make a panic deal for the Winnipeg Jets organization.
No, Drew, Jacob Trouba won't be traded by Kevin Cheveldayoff until he gets the deal that he wants. And that sounds like it's pretty obvious, but you look at his track record, and we know that the return for Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian was an excellent one.
Sure.
And the proof is in the fact that Brendan Lemieux is pushing at the door for a spot.
He would have been if he wasn't injured.
Right,
yes.
And that's a good point. And Joel Armia has been excellent in the preseason. He scored a beautiful goal last night. Jack Roslovic was the first-round pick that they used with the pick that they got from Buffalo, I should say. No, Drew Stafford's been good. Tyler Myers.
He gets full marks for what he got in that deal.
Right. Andrew Ladd, too, first-rounder, and Marco Dano. I thought that was a good return for a guy that you were going to lose if you didn't trade him.
Yeah.
So I think Kevin Cheveldayoff's history of trading, even though it's a small sample size, he hasn't made a lot of trades, one-for-one trades, it's been good. And I think that he is going to hold out. If he does trade Jacob Trouba, he is going to hold out for that perfect trade. He needs a defenseman coming back. And, Drew, yes, he might have to throw in a forward. He might have to throw in a goaltender. He might have to throw in a draft pick. But
well, I think
he isn't going to be – the Jets are not going to be pushed around here.
To the question I asked you earlier, you mentioned a forward or a goaltender is also being included in the deal. I think that this is going to end up being a multiple-piece deal. We saw the one-for-one trades back in June with Weber and with P.K. Subban and with Taylor Hall and Adam Larson. I don't think this will be a one-for-one deal. I think this will be a quote-unquote blockbuster multiple-piece trade that when this gets resolved.
Well, I think it's going to be a blockbuster even if it is one-for-one.
You're right. It's always going to be a blockbuster when you're talking about players of this ilk.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be a trade that involves multiple pieces. Because I just don't see another team having that left shot defenseman at the same age who they're willing to give up.
Drew, Hampus Lindholm for Jacob Trouba is not happening.
It's just not.
Right?
Why would Anaheim make that trade?
Right. I think Hampus Lindholm is better.
I do too.
First of all. But I mean, you're talking about guys like that.
Yeah.
Right? You're talking about guys like Darnell Nurse.
Well, I don't think the Jets would make that trade.
No, but I'm saying you're looking at players like that.
That's right.
Right? And we've already just crossed both of those guys off the list. There are only so many guys. There are only, I don't know, six or eight guys that really fit what the Jets would want back in a one-for-one trade. Right? You're talking about a young defenseman between the ages of 20 and 24.
Sure.
That's a top-pairing guy. And it's hard to do. The Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones trades don't happen very often.
That happened to be, no, especially because... It's one thing if you're looking for, you know, you're willing to take a forward for a defenseman.
Right.
But the Jets, by all accounts, aren't interested in a forward for a defenseman.
No, but the point I was making was not just forward for defenseman, but just elite young players at that age.
Sure, but I think the fact that the Jets are looking for a defenseman to replace a defenseman makes it harder.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and you mentioned Arizona, and I keep going back to Arizona because I think Arizona is a team to watch in this instance. Not that the Jets are going to get Oliver Ekman-Larsson out of Arizona.
No,
they're not.
But the thing with Arizona, though, Drew, is, again, do they want to part with a young defenseman like a Jacob Chychrun, who they got, I think it was 16th overall.
16th overall,
do they want to
right.
give up on him when he has such a high ceiling? Do they like Jacob Trouba enough? I think, to be honest with you, I think Kurt Overhart has overplayed his card as far as what he thinks Jacob Trouba is worth. Jacob Trouba is a good defenseman. He's coming off a poor year, and he's coming off of a poor World Cup of hockey, by the way.
Sure. He didn't do anything to help his stock there.
How high is his trade value right now?
I think it's still high because he's a 22-year-old defenseman, and general managers around the NHL all have the arrogance that would say, we're going to get the most out of this guy. I'm going to be the GM that harnesses all of his talent. Not that he's been... Because it's not like he's been bad. He just hasn't been as good as he was that first year.
I think his development has stalled.
And I think he would... Overhart and Trouba, and I think all the other general managers around the league would say his development has stalled maybe because of who he had been playing with. That's my opinion as well. So I think that Trouba's still got a tremendously high value. I'm not worried about the perceived value he's got.
I don't think it's as high as it was a year ago.
Probably not. Probably wasn't as high as it was after his first year with the Jets, but... I still think that enough teams are going to have significant interest in him. But you mentioned Jacob Chychrun. Well, Chychrun for Trouba isn't going to be enough to get the deal done.
No.
So then you're looking at multiple pieces. And I look at you know, what do the Jets have in abundance? They have an abundance of goaltenders. They have an abundance of goaltenders that are currently with the Jets, and they have an abundance of goaltenders who are in their minor league system, Comrie, Phillips as well. I look at Arizona's goaltending, and, well, that's a team that has no goaltending depth whatsoever in their organization. They have Mike Smith, who's 34 years old and is not that good.
Louis Domingue
is not getting it done. Then after that, they have guys who are late-round draft picks, seventh-round draft picks. They have Justin Peters, who's bounced around the NHL a whole bunch. So I can see Arizona being a team that would be interested in a Trouba and Comrie deal in exchange for Chychrun, and then you take one of their young forwards as well. Or you take maybe one of their, you know, another one of their defensemen off the back end. I think you're looking at a multiple-piece deal any way you cut it for any of the other teams in the NHL. I just don't see this being a small deal.
It's possible, Drew. We could see a one-for-one deal, or we could see three or four more players mm-hmm. involved in a deal. Or there could be no deal at all. We just don't know at this point. It doesn't look like Jacob Trouba is going to sign anytime soon. That's all we know.
Well, you know, to me, I look at Max Domi on Arizona, and we know how eager the Jets were to draft Max Domi. The Coyotes drafted Domi right before the Jets had the opportunity to do so in the year where they drafted Josh Morrissey.
Yeah, that was 2013 in New Jersey.
That's correct. I could see Domi and Chychrun for Trouba and Comrie, some variation thereof. And I think that's, sure, it's not getting exactly what Kevin Cheveldayoff wants with a 22-year-old defenseman to play their left side today, but it's getting Max Domi on the team, and that's a player the Jets organization we know has been tremendously interested in from the start.
I like when Drew kind of plays like Alex Anthopoulos, like you play like GM, like, who should, let's make a deal here.
That's Monty Hall. It's not Alex Anthopoulos. Know your Winnipeg history. That's Monty Hall.
Drew, as long as the Jays make the playoffs, that's all I care about.
I'm really nervous about the Jays making the playoffs. Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to bring in Gus Katsaros, shift our focus away from the trouble with Trouba to our fantasy hockey preview. We're going to do that for much of the next hour to 90 minutes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.